So check this out. I got word that Hulu threw this crazy party in Beverly Hills with literally all of the biggest reality TV stars. I'm talking about all the Bravo-lettes. Candy Burris, Portia Williams, James Kennedy, Jax Taylor, even Captain Lee, and Kate Chastain. Here's the genius part. If you want to find out what happened at the party, you have to watch the commercials. Yes, I know I'll be tuning in and then signing up for a free trial to get my favorite reality TV shows at Hulu.com.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week? Survivor.
Yeah, that's right. This week in Survivor is back, season 40. And wow, this is the first time ever that Twitch does not feel like it could be overkill for this week of Survivor, because we have so much still to talk about from the 2-hour premiere of Survivor Winners at War. First, let me bring in a man who could not be more pumped up here to talk about everything that's going on in the world of Survivor, plus kick off a new season of This Week in Survivor History Quiz, Mr. Jordan Kalish.
I'm back, baby. Better than ever.
Better than ever. After a zero-season layoff, Jordan Kalish is back. And we're very excited to talk with a woman that is my partner to talk about The Amazing Race. And of course, she talks about so many different shows over on Post Show Recaps. Please welcome in the great Jessica Lise is here. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, you guys. And can I just throw in a shout out to Will from America, because I love that theme song and I forgot how much I loved it because I usually listen to it on 2X. But now I'm just like, this is great. He's fantastic.
Yes.
It's a bop. It's a bop.
We love Will from America.
And it slaps.
Yes. So excited. Still so many more things we want to talk about from Survivor Winners at War. Of course, we've already gotten a couple of podcasts in the books. We had the Crazy Know-It-Alls, my conversation with Tina Wesson, my feedback show with Elaine Stott as well. We still have the Wiggle Room to come on Monday, where the Wandoff will be back. Plus, the weekend also brought in a treasure trove of podcasts. Taryn Armstrong had his first of Taryn's Survivor updates, something new that we're trying out this season. He talked with Mary Kwiatkowski. Of course, the B&B was back with Corey Cole. We got into why Natalie and Amber lost with David and Jessica. And then we were even so lucky to get Survivor Global with Shannon Gates talking with Survivor New Zealand winner Lisa Stanger. Is that not enough content for you people?
Is there anything left to talk about?
Yes, yes. We have to talk about social media. Going to talk about everything that's going on. So still plenty to talk about. I mean, and this was a week 40 seasons in the making, Jess.
I still can't believe this is a thing that is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like it's like a deep fake of somebody's Brant Steele.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really amazing sitting there watching the episode and seeing some of these people on the screen. And I mean, this isn't a hot take, but just like seeing Ethan back on Survivor, seeing Danny Boatwright, Yule, people who I never thought I would see play the game again. And it's just like, you've watched all these people as players who've won their games and you remember the games they played, but you could never really imagine all of these people playing together, how they would interact. And we got to see a little bit of it in the 2-hour premiere, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, Jess, Jordan brings up a good point because that's very interesting in regards to Danny, because there's a whole generation of Survivor fans that only knew Danny from being answers in the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Good point.
Yeah, that was it. But just as I was prepping for this show, I wanted to talk to you. Tough week for the Amazing Race contestants on Winners at War. We lose two former Amazing Race legends in one episode.
Yeah, well, one could argue that the second time both of them went out to the Amazing Race didn't go well for either of them either.
Yes. Yeah. So, wow. It was, not great for the Amazing Race. Although I believe four of the winners at war have been on the Amazing Race with Boston Rob and Ethan. A lot of people forget that Ethan had a 2-week run on the Amazing Race at one point. I believe that was Amazing Race 19?
It was, yeah, I think it was 19. I think Ethan himself has probably forgotten.
He tried to. But yeah, so a rough week for Amber and for Natalie to be voted out after being Amazing Race stars. Do you think they'll bond about that on the Edge of Extinction, Jess?
I would imagine they've got a lot of things to talk about, and that is certainly a topic of conversation that could come up.
Yeah. Jess, what was your reaction to the big 2-hour premiere?
I thought it was wonderful. It was everything I expected. I don't think I've ever... I think the only thing that comes this close, and I know this brings up bad memories for you, Rob.
Oh, boy.
I think the only thing that comes this close to me was watching the first episode of the first All-Stars, mm-hmm. where it's like, here are all of these people that I've gotten to know over the course of a season, and they're talking to each other. And it's like all of these people that really are in their own self-contained bubble of their season, and now they're interacting and they're strategizing and they're bringing their game style to the table, and we get to see like who wants to work with whom and how they get along. It's really fun to watch. And you know, there've been returning player seasons before, but this is something special. This is like a level of devotion that you have to Survivor that seeing it writ large on the screen like this, it still doesn't even really feel real.
I know. It was such a wild scene of, you know, getting everybody there together on the beach. And of course, Jeff was going to kick things off with the big champagne toast, which was so much fun. Here is Jeff getting the festivities started with a little toast before the game.
To Survivor, because a drink before war is always a good idea.
Just, is that from something?
It sounds like it's supposed to be from something. I want to know what that accent is.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Why did he say war like that?
I have a theory about that.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, please. Please tell
my
us.
My guess, I think it's supposed to be like a Mark Burnett impression.
Okay.
Ew.
All right. That I'll go. Is that something Mark Burnett says? A drink before war?
I don't know.
War?
I've barely heard Mark Burnett
what war,
say anything.
The Eco Challenge?
I don't know, because it's not referencing anything that's like ever happened on the show. I don't think it's referencing anything from pop culture. Maybe it's something that Mark Burnett like said to them right before they went out or something. And he's just repeating it, which in without context makes no sense to us. This is just a theory. I have no idea.
It's like you kind of had to be there.
Maybe. Jess, it's not like a Tyrion Lannister thing or anything, right?
I don't think so. Also, if anybody is talking about drinking that often, I would have problems. Like I would be concerned for their well-being. Like, has somebody checked on Mark Burnett lately?
Is Jeff a Klingon? I don't know. Let's hear it one more time.
To Survivor, because a drink before war is always a good idea.
I mean, that does sound like Jeff's Mark Burnett impression. When I went to the panel that they had after the screening on Monday night, Jeff told a lot of Mark Burnett stories with Dalton Ross on the panel. I mean, that is sounds like his Mark Burnett impression, but I wonder if that's just like his default, you know, British or Australian voice.
I feel like I've heard him do that in interviews before, but again, it makes not much sense based on what he said.
It's weird.
And I don't think it's a Tyrion Lannister impression. I think after Karishma, we're not really getting anyone else doing Game of Thrones references on Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was a great way to kick things off. You know, Jeff also made, you know, called a lot of attention to, you know, how long of a layoff it had been for some of the players in the game, that he got very, you know, nostalgic for some of the players. He started with how long it's been since Yule had played in the game. And this is what Jeff had to say about Yule.
Yule, you played 14 years ago. Yep. The iPhone didn't even exist.
OK, Okay. So that was like, okay, good. Yeah, the iPhone. Then Jeff turned to Amber and talked about what they didn't have when Amber first played Survivor.
Amber. Jeff. You first played 20 years ago. Little perspective. Not only had the iPhone not been invented, iTunes didn't exist, Twitter, Facebook, Xbox.
Yeah. Jeff doesn't seem very focused on the Apple stuff, Jess.
Yeah, he's apparently the last stop before he got on the plane to go out there and film was the Apple Store.
I had wondered, did Jeff have like a bunch of those things? Like, did he go through for everybody, Jordan? Do you think that he ended up doing one of those for every single person? Things that had not existed since the last time they played?
I think so. I think there was a deleted scene where he went to Nick and he was like, Nick, the last time you played Survivor, there was no TikTok. TikTok wasn't even invented yet.
So I actually did my research and TikTok was invented. I think it's been around. But
that's why they cut that out.
They cut that out. But I did get a copy of Jeff's notes and that he did have prepared to go, Nick, since you've played, the world is so different. That when you played, there was no Popeye's chicken sandwich. White Claw wasn't a drink. Game of Thrones was a popular TV show. And the newest iPhone was an XX Max. Amazing.
Amazing. But you know, he really could have just gone with, Yule, the last time you played the game, random people could go into their office and be assured that if they told their coworkers they were watching Survivor, their coworkers might actually talk about Survivor instead of just like giving them a look and saying, oh, wow, that show's still on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pre-Yule. Like Cook Islands, I think at that point, people had maybe stopped watching, at least normal people, not us. We're the special people.
Yeah, I've been special for so long, Jordan.
Yeah.
Wendell, when you last played the game, players got voted out and went to Ponderosa.
Rob, I don't know if Jeff's going to let you like interview him at these red carpet events anymore if you're stealing his notes.
Okay. please. Jess, I did get to speak with Jeff Probst this week. And yeah, it didn't get off to a great start, my conversation with Jeff Probst.
All right, we are here with the legendary host of Survivor, Jeff Probst. Jeff, how are you?
Do you like me at all?
Oh. Are you a fan of Survivor, Rob?
I love Jeff. I love Jeff. I feel like that Jeff, I think, looks at me as that, you know, I'm like the voice of like people like that get, you know, are, you know, get it in his mentions on social media. And I think he feels like I'm like the ringleader, but I'm not. I'm not telling people to do anything.
No, you're one of the people on the street, if anything.
I'm one of the people on the street. And, you know, I talk about issues with the show, but it's tell me the time that I tell people to, you know, go on, you know, go tell Jeff this or go tell Jeff that. That is not my thing. Not doing
no,
that.
It's definitely not. It's not your style, Rob.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel bad that Jeff feels like that I have like any sort of hard feelings towards him.
Yeah, what is your thing, Rob? It's like Ashley Nolan, you need a thing.
I have plenty of things. Plaid, make a million True. Podcasts, not leave my thing. House. All of my things. Those are all my things. You know, but no, that's not my thing. So I felt bad that my interview with Jeff got off to a little bit of a contentious start. But anyway.
You rallied. He said he said that Edge of Extinction is not coming back for a long time. So I think that's what worked out in the end.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, what I did get the sense, though, from, you know, everything that he was saying on Monday night, though, Jess, I think that the fire tokens, I think, are going to be a big part of Survivor as we head into the 40s through one night. How are you feeling about fire tokens?
Well, you know, Rob, I said coming into the season that I would have to see fire tokens in action before I could form an opinion on them. And honestly, they fit in pretty seamlessly. I'm pretty happy altogether with how they've turned out. I think they're contributing something really interesting to the game. And I think this is the season to put them in because we already know everybody. If we were trying to get to know 20 new people and trying to get a handle on these fire tokens. I think in the game, they'd be having trouble getting a handle on them. And we, the viewers, would be completely lost. But I think this is a really fun way to make Edge of Extinction a little more relevant. And you can watch people kind of formulate how they're going to interact with each other and what they're going to use the fire tokens for. And maybe I've just, maybe I'm just primed to like it because I like the Garnets in the Genius, but I liked it very much, and I'm okay with it for this season. I don't think I'd like it as much in a season of Strangers.
Yeah, and how exactly, if there wasn't going to be the Edge of Extinction, would they make the fire tokens be a thing?
Yeah, they would have to get rid of the part where the people on the Edge of Extinction can get fire tokens back.
Right. I wonder maybe if there could be some sort of like Ghost Island type scenario where, you know, instead of a, you know, playing a little game, you would be able to go to Ghost Island and you'd be able to like make your pitch to another player of like, you know, okay, I'll trade you this. I found this advantage. I'll give it to you for 2 fire tokens. And then, you know, you have to send it to somebody on the other tribe or maybe do something like that.
Yeah, here's my question, Rob, and I don't know, maybe nobody knows the answer to this yet, or maybe I heard it somewhere and I completely ignored it, but are the fire tokens that exist in the game right now the only fire tokens? Like, is it an economy with a very like upper limit of how much currency can circulate, or will more fire tokens be introduced as the game goes on?
Yeah, I believe more will be introduced as the game goes on. I think that there was some talk that they were going to be part of, like, if you win a challenge, I think so that would be a fire token would be distributed. Jordan, did you hear anything like that?
I mean, I've just heard like rumors going around on social media, not based on, I think more based on just speculation, where either they'll be able to be found on the Edge of Extinction or they'll be able to be gotten somehow in the game. There's an interesting theory actually going around on Twitter, and I'm pretty sure there is validity to this, where if you look at the immunity idol, it has 2 eyes, the little skeleton, and they look very much like fire tokens. So I am of the opinion that those are 2 fire tokens that could be up for grabs. And on my rewatch of the episode, I actually tweeted this out the other day, where if at Tribal Council, there is a there's big wooden skeleton that looks very, very similar to the hidden immunity idol. And in the eyes of that skeleton are 2 lamps, 2 fire lamps. And I think that's a clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people were talking about this idea about, could in the immunity idol, there are things that look like they are exactly the same things as fire tokens. Could somebody just, pull those out? From what I understand, and a lot of people had that theory. So I believe that no, you cannot do that. I had seen that. I thought that Nick had responded to somebody and said that no, production is not going to let you do that. I think that if there were fire tokens in the immunity idol, I feel like that it would be a little bit less in plain sight. What do you think, Jess?
Well, is this like when you go to an escape room and you just start smashing things and you get in trouble with the people that run the escape room?
Yeah. I think that the producers are not going to let you try. I think that the survivors tried, and I don't think that they were going to let anybody just take the fire tokens out of the necklace.
I guess that does make sense in retrospect, because if we're talking about this and we're thinking that the eyes look just like fire tokens, they're holding this idol. And the first tribe who got who won immunity, which was the Dokkal tribe, someone probably would have taken them if they were allowed to. Like they wouldn't be on it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be allowed to just, you know, rip it out, and then they'd be like, "Hey, what happened to our immunity idol? Like, why is it broken?"
What if they just get replaced?
Why would you replace them?
What if the, you know, somebody pries the fire tokens out and then production just quietly replaces them every time?
Wow. And then every time you win immunity, you could get 2 fire tokens.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good to me.
I mean, I do think like it's an interesting concept. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what type of creative strategies the survivors come up with regarding the fire tokens. And I think it does, like Jessica was saying, make the edge more interesting. I'm still, you know, and again, I actually wish if they were trying this out, they were doing it on a season that wasn't a returning player season, that wasn't all winners. I wish they were doing it. If they were doing the edge again with fire tokens, I would rather see it with new players, because even though it was a great episode of Survivor, Natalie gets voted out, who I'm a big fan of. And, you know, it would have been a shame not to see her again. Then Amber goes out. We haven't seen her play Survivor in a long time. But the finality of somebody getting voted out and the weight that that holds is sort of taken away a little bit, because they're still there and they still have a chance to get back into the game, which in a way is nice, because, you know, if you're especially if you're a fan of the players who get voted out, it's great. But at the same time, you know, Tribal Council is supposed to be final. And it would just mean a lot more if, like, you know, we hadn't seen Amber in 16 years and now we're not going to see her again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think that it's good and bad. You know, I was excited to see what Amber could do in the season. And then if she was just gone, then that would be the end of the story. But I'm no Edge of Extinction apologist, but I am interested to see, like, where this goes for Amber and Natalie on the Edge of Extinction.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of interesting implications for Rob, who got off to a great start this week. I think she could certainly spend the whole season on Edge of Extinction kind of running the show and planting ideas in people's ear. And then everybody comes back and is the jury, and if Rob is sitting there at the end and Amber spent the whole game, like, talking him up, mm-hmm. This is kind of like the reverse of what he did for her when she won.
Rob talked up Amber, or that,
well, Rob kind of played the game hard and made everybody hate him, and then brought Amber with him, and Amber got the money, and by extension he ended up with the money anyway.
Okay.
So it's like you need someone behind the scenes kind of pumping you up or looking very good by comparison. And Amber will have that time on Edge of Extinction to talk Rob up to everybody.
Yeah. Do you need somebody to be like in an Edge of Extinction season, Jordan, to be the mayor of Edge? That like, is it a good thing if that person is like sort of in your favor?
I think it is definitely helpful to have advocates on the Edge of Extinction, especially, you know, if it's the first person there or the second person there who's living with these people for the whole game. And you had that in Ream, for example, on the first Edge of Extinction. On this season, though, I will say, like, if Amber is talking up Rob, and it's, I think that's going to become very obvious what she's trying to do. Obviously, she's very biased when it comes to Boston Rob, being that they're married and they have four kids together. I think if you had someone like, you know, like a Tyson, or maybe like, you know, even though Sandra seems mad at Rob now, if she were to go to the Edge of Extinction, maybe, you know, they, you know, maybe if she's sitting there sort of thinking about their time on the island,
she's pretty forgiving
idols,
and reflective.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think that she might, you know, she could potentially have some nice things to say about their time together on the Island of the Idols. I think it would mean more coming from someone who's not married to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jordan, speaking of things that you tweeted out this week, in addition to your fire token conspiracy theory, you also were taking credit for Adam Klein and Ben Driebergen having a under the radar relationship together in the game.
Yeah, well, there's the Poker Alliance, which is invented by Yule, which was a strategic great strategic move to get the target on somebody else. But then there's a very, very real pregame alliance, and this is the Twitch Alliance. Jessica, someone that you, if you, it's too bad we don't have someone on your team this week, because if you ever played Survivor with that person, they would have your back, just like Ben had Adam's back in this episode. And okay. I think that's really what's driving the strategy on the LA tribe so far.
Now, Jess, were you aware, were you a complete Yule Kwan to know that Ben Driebergen and Adam Klein actually played this week in Survivor History quiz together on March 29th, 2018?
Well, I mean, I listened to the show, so I'm sure I did know that in the back of my lizard brain, but I wasn't able to pull it Yule style.
Okay, well, that Yule Kwan, that he was too busy watching poker games to go back and listen to this.
First, let me bring in for you a man. People have been clamoring. They say, Rob, when will you get another millennial on the podcast? And I said, how about on the This Week in Survivor History quiz? Here is the great Adam Klein.
I only signed up for this because I thought Jordan Kalish was going to be here physically in Reno. What
I'm sorry,
gives?
Adam. I'm this sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint everybody.
But wow, what a great episode of Survivor that was, huh?
We didn't watch it yet. This is recorded on Wednesday. This has been in my hotel room. And then also, Adam, because he was concerned that he would not be able to beat me on his own, has recruited another Survivor winner here. Here is for you the great winner of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, Ben Driebergen.
Jordan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Ben. I didn't even know you about this. This is great.
Well, you were supposed to be down here, and I was supposed to get your autograph.
I know. I would have got your autograph, too.
Let's do this.
Yeah, that. Wow. So Jordan Kalish put this whole thing into motion. And so I guess the question, Jess, is how much does Natalie Anderson have Jordan Kalish to blame for being on the edge of extinction?
I don't know. Natalie Anderson may indirectly have me to blame for getting first voted out of Amazing Race. So,
can you reset that? Can you mention that story? I mean, that was like 3 reality seasons ago for her.
Yeah, that was a very long time ago. Yeah. That was before before Survivor was even a glimmer in her eye. I did some recon work for Natalie and Nadia before they went on. I think I'm allowed to talk about this now.
Yeah.
Before they went on season 24, I did some brainstorming for them about where I thought the show was going to go. And I turned out to be right about a lot of the route, but it turned out not to matter a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Natalie and Nadia flamed out in the first episode of, was it Amazing Race 26? 24.
That was the one that we try to block out.
Yeah,
Rob.
we try to block that out.
So if you're a 20, you either win or you're out first on any of these shows.
Yeah, well, except pretty for much. Amazing Race 21.
I missed that one.
But Adam Klein, he was, very keenly aware of these relationships that people had in the game. Once the target was on him and Denise, he talked about in one of his confessionals about how people need to be looking at some of the other pairs that are out there in this game.
They should be way more worried about Natalie and Jeremy's existing relationship coming into this game, Rob and Amber's marriage.
And just the way that Adam ended that clip, I couldn't help but think, Jess, of one of my favorite scenes from the movie The Princess Bride.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage,
that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Yeah, so this is like the 8th Rob Has a Podcast Survivor podcast that has dropped this week. And I treasure the fact that I get to be on it because this is how weird and deep and esoteric the polls are. Although I'm pretty sure that when you played that marriage clip, both Jordan and I were about to spring into action and give you that whole speech.
Marriage.
Boy, this podcast is getting weird and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. Oh, boy.
Don't be sorry, Rob.
Best of 2020 podcast.
I don't know. Sure. I don't, it's early. Pick. It's early. It's early.
It's February.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say, though, I really was impressed with what Adam was able to do. I mean, obviously, he used his background of the Twitch Alliance with Ben to his benefit here. But This really reminded me of the spot he was in on his original Millennials tribe when they voted out Mari Takahashi, and he wasn't even part of that vote. And what he was able to do, and we actually spoke about this, Rob, when we were doing the pregame retrospective on the new school players, where Adam then started putting it into people's ears how dangerous of a pair Taylor and Figgy were. And I think it's he took this right from the same playbook of putting the target on Jeremy and Natalie, and obviously it worked, where they were, you know, they voted with him and Denise, and he was able to spare himself for one more, at least one more tribal council. So I think it's, you know, Adam didn't have a great, at least, you know, he gets lost with the map. He's in the woods with Denise, and people are worried about that. So maybe he didn't have a great first day, but I think he had a great second day, and he might be in a similar spot now where he's able to, you know, start putting things in people's ears and, you know, building bonds and working with more people.
Jess, is there anybody from the premiere that you want to highlight in terms of anybody that you think did a great job that might not be getting as much credit as you would have thought?
Well, I think we've talked a bit about Yul inventing the idea of the Poker Alliance, which I think is hilarious that he just like Googled up some stuff right before he left and concocted this.
Which is what he said, literally. Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I want to say I am so impressed. And I really hate that I am, because I think this was like the probably bottom tier list of people I'd like to see win this season. But Rob and Parvati,
mm-hmm.
How did they manage to keep the target off themselves? I think they were as flummoxed by this as I was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was amazing that they immediately realized they had to team up and what they had to do to keep people from immediately voting them out. I thought that was a really great move. And then there's people I'm fond of that I didn't realize how fond of them I was, because I hate to lose any of these people at this point. But the second that Tyson's name came up, I'm like, no, wait, you can't vote him out. You have to keep him forever because I love him. And it's like, I didn't realize that I was a Tyson stan until the idea of losing him in the first episode was on the table.
Yeah, I would say, you know, as a Tyson fan myself, when I was sitting there in the theater, and of all people, Jordan, it was Tony who brings up Tyson's name, and I felt very betrayed by Tony. It's like, Tony, how could you do this? Yeah.
It's in these seasons, that's going to happen. There's going to be people that you are huge fans of who are going after each other. And I was a little bit worried about Tyson too for a while. However, I do think he did a good job of pivoting, and you know, he was, you know, it's the David Bloomberg rule of being flexible. He once he heard that Kim and Amber were the other names, he sort of pivoted away from them, and he was able to get himself in a spot where he actually, I believe, did vote for Amber there. It was either Amber or Kim, which I guess was probably part of a vote split. But he voted in the majority's plan. So hopefully that's able to save him for a little while. But I'm sure all these players recognize how big of a threat he is. And Tony made a great point of talking about how he's like, he jokes around at camp and everyone likes him.
Tyson,
and that's why
he's
so
funny
dangerous.
Guy.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's Tony. Tony could be saying the same thing about himself, but Tony had a strong premiere.
Yeah. He did
definitely
good.
Better than his Game Changers premiere.
Yes. Okay. Speaking of Tony, we have a voicemail from the great Jason Curtis Rivera, who has an idea for a maybe the new hot Survivor game that people are going to start playing. Here's Jason Curtis Rivera.
Survivor Philadelphia.
Hey, Rob, it's Jason Curtis Rivera. I'm very intrigued by this Game Changers Alliance of Sandra, Sarah, and Tony. It's interesting because Tony beat Sarah. And Sandra beat Tony, but then Sarah beat Sandra. So they have this interesting 3-point, almost equality between the alliance. So my question is, should we stop playing rock, paper, scissor and start playing Tony, Sandra, Sarah? And more importantly, which one will Clarence always choose? Thanks.
That's amazing.
I think T-Bird would tell you that Clarence would always pick Tony. And I don't want to talk about what Clarence would tell you about me.
Yeah, no, that's a great JCR, great point. And we see the Dakhal tribe is has sort of broken up into little voting blocks, and one of them is the Game Changers voting block of Tony, Sarah, and Sandra. And I think if you're playing Tony, Sarah, Sandra, you have to say it like Tony would say it. You can't say Sandra; it has to be Sandra.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard Tony say his own name, Sandra, Sarah. Jess, but what would the hand motions be for Tony, Sandra, Sarah?
I'm sure I have no idea. I just assumed there was going to be like a soundboard that you would use to play this game.
I mean, I think Sandra could be like, you could put like your hands over your head like a crown. Tony can be, how do you do a llama? Like, what is a llama?
you just make like a llama face with your hands.
Yeah, no, I think that you put your hands over your face like Tony was doing, about how that basically trying to be more, as he was like revealing himself. That's like Tony in the Spy Shack. And I don't know what the, I guess Sarah is like that you Sarah. Basically are going to like raise your hand in the air. Like imagine Sarah being like,
I would.
Yeah. So it's a raised hand, two little like circles over your eyes for Tony, and then a big circle over your head for Sandra. We have to. I think we should play this at Know It Alls in New York. I think we should get a big big tournament going for game night on Thursday.
Okay,
the night
you
after
can
Know-It-Alls.
Host a good tournament for game night of.
Let me know how that works out for you,
Tony, Sarah, Sandra. Okay, all right. Anything else that you want to talk about, Jess, before we get into some of the social media?
No, I want to hear the social media because I know the social media was lit, fam.
Social media is pretty lit this week. So we are going to get to that. But first, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. Those are our friends over at the Undercover Tourist. Jess, are you planning any theme park vacations this year?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Okay, well, don't go to a theme park before you check out Undercover Tourist, the trusted name for theme park tickets. Planning a vacation can be hard work and overwhelming. And if you want to know how to save money and save time, you should check out the Undercover Tourist because they have the exact same tickets to theme parks you know and love for less with no catch. Save up to $145 on each theme park ticket. Wow, very significant. Think of the savings for a family of four or six. They're an authorized seller with 20 years of quality service providing theme park and attraction tickets at discounted prices. Jordan, they do not have tickets to Nora World. That is not a thing.
Maybe one day. How many fire tokens is $145?
I think it's a lot. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 1 million app downloads on their Orlando Wait Times app. It's hassle-free. You can get email or physical tickets and skip the lines at the gate and go straight to the rides. You pay what you see with no hidden fees and tax included where applicable. 90-day ticket returns with friendly, knowledgeable agents and free planning tools and free park plans of what to do when, saving you 4 hours a day of not standing in the line and zigzagging across the park, which is priceless because we hate standing in line. Plus blog and travel tips too. Undercover Tourist is the trusted name for theme park tickets. Before you go to any of these theme parks, go ahead and check them out. Start planning your next theme park vacation now by visiting undercovertourist.com/RHAP. There's an additional discount using RHAP on top of the big savings already offered through Undercover Tourist. That's undercovertourist.com/RHAP. And let's get to the Survivor social media. And for the first time here in season 40, we bring in the great Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets, they're the top of the pack. They're better than a legend you thought wouldn't come back. Tweets.
Who's the legend that we thought wouldn't come back?
I think there's a bunch of them.
Just generic?
I think so. I think he could be talking about Ethan Ewell. Maybe, I don't know,
Amber?
Do people think Kim was coming back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Adam Klein that posted on Instagram, he said, I caved. I'm finally on Cameo in time for the premiere. Swipe up to say hi. Valentine's Day gifts. Anyone? So Adam Klein is now on Cameo, joining the ranks of many survivors. Jess, did you happen to see the Cameo that I got from coach this week for Valentine's Day?
I did not, Rob, but I bet it was epic.
Oh, it was epic. It all started about a week ago when Coach sent a tweet out and basically said that this was, you know, not in any way, shape, or form on my part something that I was asking for. But Coach said on February 11th on Twitter, "Happy Valentine's Day week. Every day is full of love. Just got to find it, embrace it, remember, and share it. P.S. at Rob Sesternino, I've got one waiting for you and your lovely bride on the house, baby."
Rob, I've always loved how much your coach impression sounds like Larry David's George Steinbrenner impression.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And so I responded to Coach. Coach, I'm counting on this Valentine's cameo for my wife. Don't leave me hanging, Dragon Slayer. Because I knew that was very funny that I would then tell my wife that I got her a cameo from Coach for Valentine's Day. But Coach came through. I'll play just a little bit of this, but this was my personalized cameo from Coach for Valentine's Day.
"And Nicole Sesternino, big shout out. The one and only Dragon Slayer here with trumpet. Here's what I want you to do. First of all, happy Valentine's Day. As we look off into the sunset of 2020, Nietzsche said it the best. He said that there is always madness in love, but there's always reason in madness. That's right, baby. There's reason that we fall in love and live our lives with these women and men and significant others. And so I'm going to play a nice little taste for you. I want you guys to turn down the lights, light a couple of candles, replay this later on today because I'm sure you have nothing better to do on Valentine's Day than to listen to."
Could you imagine if then I like dim the lights in the bedroom and said, "Honey, hold on, let me just get my phone. I got to play you this from this video from Coach."
It's 9 hours long.
Yeah. You could put it on like a playlist with Will from America's Love Know-It-All theme song.
No, but let me just play it because it's very impressive. Okay, here's the rest.
"To my trumpet, but I'm going to play a little song that's called When I Fall in Love, It Will Be Forever. When I fall in love, it'll be with you, and in a moment I can feel that you feel that way too." Anyway, I can't sing very well, but what I can do is play it on my trumpet. Rob C. and Nicole, this is for you.
Yeah, so that was a very nice cameo that I got from Coach.
I have so many questions, Rob.
Yes.
I have so many questions. Okay. Why was Coach's first impulse when he saw Valentine's Day was coming up I am going to record a 90-minute video Valentine for Rob Sesternino and his wife, in which I sing them songs and play my trumpet to get them in the mood? Why did he go to that immediately? Like, he has a family, he has a wife. Why is he sending you free cameos? I don't get it.
You should have sent Coach a mouth trumpet.
Is it too late
video
for the wand off?
I think it would do well.
Yeah.
I mean, Gavin Larson and the Zebras are back. They're back.
Yeah. No, Coach was
a 180 reference.
It was very
podcast.
Impressive. And made Nicole's day.
Yes, but why?
Don't ask why. Coach is like Cupid.
He plays very well.
Yeah. So, really a big shout out to Coach. One of Coach's buddies from Survivor Tokachin, Survivor Heroes versus Villains, has been really lighting it up on Twitter here so far in season 40. He was on the ropes in the premiere, but has come out hot on Twitter. And that would be Tyson Apostle. Tyson is not suffering fools on social media this season, Jess.
I am loving how arch he is.
Yeah. This was one of Tyson's tweets that was circulated, that there was a person on Twitter that was talking with another person in a post that they had tagged a couple of players, or they tagged the Survivor Twitter account and Tyson. And this person had said, "I don't know who I hate more, Ben, Tony, or Tyson. Probably Ben, because he was basically handed idols for the first four rounds of Tribal. I am going to hate this season. Didn't watch last night yet, so no spoilers." To which Tyson replied, "Natalie and Amber got voted out."
Yeah. it's a good way to handle the haters. And like, what are these people doing? Like, he tagged them, right? Did he tag him in the tweet or not?
So I think that person replied to a tweet, but that the previous tweet had Tyson tagged on it.
And also, what is he talking about with the Ben thing? That he was, what, even handed idols in the first four rounds of Tribal Council?
Last four.
It said last four. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then you feel like they have a point then?
I don't think they have a point. I just think, like, why are you talking? If you don't like the show, if you don't like people, whatever. Just don't tweet about it.
For the record, Ben was not handed an idol for the last round of Tribal Council, idiot. Okay.
It was a fire challenge, fire making challenge.
Okay. All right.
He's in the Twitch Alliance.
All right. Tyson, yesterday tweeted out the link to Run It Up Reno, said forming the Poker Alliance 2.0. So he's embracing that. And then just today said, "I love being part of this Winners at War 19 person group chat."
All right.
Yeah.
Who's missing from the group chat?
Yeah. Who's the 19th person?
I think 19 people are trying to figure that out right now. Okay. All right. Let's see. The Mayo Jar. Got to see the Mayo Jar the other day. He gave out some grades. He said A+ for the Survivor premiere, A+ for embracing pregame relations and beautifully working them into the narrative, A+ for making the viewers feel nonstop anxiety, and A+ for fire tokens. Edge of Extinction is going to ruin it, but it's a keeper. So the Mayo Jar is in on the fire tokens.
Mayo Jar approved.
Yeah.
I think he has a point with the pregame alliance. Like, I like when, you know, with the returning player season especially, like, it's good to get the full story. We know that in every returning player season, pregame alliances come into play. It's just human nature that if you have a connection with someone outside the game, it's probably going to come into the game. And now we get to actually see how it's playing out. So I think it's a lot more interesting.
Okay. All right. Stephen Fishback said, "One nice thing about the Survivor premiere, no clown music. Nobody made to look like a doofus or a goofball. When Ben screws up with Boston Rob, we have Ben laughing about it himself. Feels much nicer to laugh with the contestants than at them." Just that feels like Stephen is speaking from experience.
Well, you know, Stephen didn't have a great go of things his second time out. And you know that all of us that are in the public eye have to deal with a lot of meaningless BS from social media. So I co-sign it. I really feel him here.
Okay. Jess, Alexis Maxwell was back at it for Survivor premiere. I'm not going to pull anything specific, but how many tweets for Alexis Maxwell during the Survivor premiere?
Well, I know she's a prolific tweeter.
Mm-hmm. 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours of tweeting. I mean, I tweeted a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had like 24 tweets.
Oh, 24.
Yeah, I was prolific as well.
Okay.
Alexis that averages Maxwell. To like a tweet every 5 minutes. But yeah. Alexis Maxwell, I'm gonna say she had like 15 tweets.
15. Jordan, higher or lower?
Last year when we played this game, I took the under and I was wrong. I'm going with the over.
Yeah, take the over. 29 for Alexis Maxwell.
Not bad.
Not
bad. Are they good tweets?
I'll give you a couple. Let's see. We have, I feel so bad.
It's not a tweet.
LOL. I love when Sandra immediately tells the person, what a comeback. All right, Wendell. Sandra has great Matt talk. Now she has to sit on that island for an eternity. Boston Rob has such alpha energy. LOL. I call that trade.
There are like four people I barely remember coming from Alexis Maxwell.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is from a person on Reddit. Jimmy Cobain 27 on Reddit pulled this. This was from the Survivor Facebook group also. That this was a person on Survivor Facebook group said, Rob's podcast is really good. I always enjoy tuning in after each show, and listening to him and guests break down the show, always pointing out things I didn't think about. I hope he stays a while. I enjoy watching him play. He was awesome in those challenges. They couldn't have won without him. Sandra needs to go next vote.
Well,
okay.
I mean, you are doing a great job out there, Rob. I believe I gave you credit.
Yes. Yes. So thank you so much. And to this person who listens to the podcast, I appreciate your support. And I'm very upset about my wife getting voted out on the show this week. But I'm hoping to bounce back and I'll see if I can go all the way. No spoilers.
So who's a big enough super fan to listen to RHAP, but not a big super fan to know the difference between Boston Rob and Rob Sesternino?
I don't know.
I think there could only be one person that you could say, and it's this person who made the comment. That's impossible.
Well, to be fair, they're
listening. Don't be mean to my fan, Jordan.
It's one person, and he could be joking. He could have been joking.
I don't know. I don't think so.
To be fair, Rob, you do use that voice a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Even though Elaine thinks I don't do a good Boston Rob. Also, how about Jess, did you see that Yule ended up posting an essay on Twitter about explaining all of his moves from the episode?
I saw that he posted it, but it was TLDR.
Yeah. So in addition to posting a meme of himself with his face on Jon Snow and says, night gathers and now my nerdly watch begins. I shall take no nerdly wife, hold no nerdly lands, father no nerdly children. I am the nerd that guards the realms of men. Which is funny. So Yule posted a whole blog and had a bunch of different insights, including about the Poker Alliance, that he didn't know if it was real or not, and why he ended up putting his arm on Kim after the vote, and a couple of different things, including Jordan, that he says that there's an algorithm for moving around the numbers methodically so that you're guaranteed to try every single possible permutation only once. Boy, Yul Kwan is on brand to start off this new season.
Yeah, I mean, it was really incredible to see him. I think I tweeted at one point, is Yul once again the godfather of his tribe? He had such a great night. I think of anybody in the premiere, I think that maybe he was set up as, like, at least, I'm not sure if he's necessarily... I'm not going to go as far as saying winner's edit, because it is just the premiere, but he was set up as having so many strategic conversations with many people on his tribe. And it's so far, it seems like same old Yule from Cook Islands 1.
Yeah. And Jess, I haven't talked about it too much, but Yule and Sophie as a pair has been very fun also.
Yeah. Ravenclaw Alliance for life. Yeah,
the Ravenclaw Alliance. That's right. That's right. So that was, a fun pairing to see where that goes. All right. One last person to mention from social media. Troy Zan at Troy_Zan said, I feel weird saying the word bequeath. Sounds like a word from the 16th century. Ha! Only on Survivor. Jess, did you know that Troy Zan ended up going on a trip to Fiji? I believe it was with Tai Trang and Michelle.
Was this one of those things where Fiji Airlines gave them a free trip, or did they do this on their own?
Yeah, I think they had the free tickets to go, and I think that was the crew, and maybe there was somebody else. But Troy Zan said, I buried some cans of tuna out on my island in a few strategic places. Hope a few of these winners at war find them. Do you think, is that true? Do you think that Troyzan buried canned tuna out there on the Survivor Islands?
Well, see, now I'm just thinking back to that story that Shane Powers told about things that they found out on the island the first time he played.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, does Troyzan let people know? Because it is weird that they just like let people go to these Survivor Islands when Survivor isn't filming. But Jordan, if you were a random Survivor player and you stumbled across a can of bumblebee tuna that on the beach, I'm not sure, as hungry as I was, if I would eat that.
I think on Survivor I would probably eat it. It's like a sealed can of tuna. I mean, I don't know. I guess I could get like a rock to try to open it. Maybe I would share it with some people in my tribe to try to build alliances. I think it would be worth it.
And then Jordan gets medevaced for botulism.
It wouldn't be the first time I've been medevaced, so that's fine.
That's true.
Jess, what do you think? As the smartest person on the panel, is it safe to eat the canned tuna? I know you also do a lot of fictional reading in terms of apocalyptic scenarios. Is that okay?
Yeah, it seems like the canned goods tend to be really important in a post-apocalyptic event. And it's almost like at that point when actual survival is on the line, you roll the dice because when is your next meal happening? But I don't know, if you're playing in a game for television and you know you're not really supposed to be eating it in the first place, then I think it gets a little dicier because you know that Survivor's not going to let you literally starve to death.
Yeah. And then just hope that you have easy access to the machete also to be able to try to pry that can of tuna open.
Well, it could be one of those tab top cans.
Oh, okay. Just that you just open it up with a click.
I feel like Troyzan would have been thinking about these kinds of things.
Okay. All right. Before we play this week in Survivor History Quiz, let me just take a moment and thank our other sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And we ask you, what do companies like Ring, Hint, and Tecovas have all in common? They all use NetSuite to accelerate their growth. Successful companies know that in order to grow faster, you must have the right tools, and not just for opening canned goods in Fiji. Whether you're doing a million, 10 million, or hundreds of millions in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools you need to accelerate your growth. With NetSuite, you get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place, right from your phone or computer. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence. That's why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system, trusted by more than 19,000 companies. It's the last system that you'll ever need. NetSuite business grows here. Schedule your free product tour right now and receive your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, at netsuite.com/tour. That's netsuite.com/tour, netsuite.com/tour. Okay. All right.
T-O-U-R or T-O-R-E?
T-O-U-R. All right.
That makes more sense.
Here we go. All right. Let's get into the quiz.
Twish.
Okay. All right. So, Jordan, do you need to set this up? I mean, maybe, are there any new listeners to the podcast here for Survivor Winners at War?
There might be.
Yeah.
No, people who, you know, they hadn't watched since Survivor Guatemala, and now Danny's back, so they needed to watch. Yeah. I think we might have some new listeners.
New listeners to the Boston Rob podcast, you know, they want to hear how everything is going for me out there. So, all right, why don't you go ahead and explain it?
They need to know the BR rules, right?
The BR rules.
The BR rule, or the TWISH rules, the Twitch rules. I have 4 multiple choice questions. Each one, it can be worth 2 points if you don't hear the options and you're correct. However, if you go for 2 and you're incorrect, your opponent has a chance to steal a point. If you hear the multiple choice options, your opponent cannot steal a point, and the question will be worth 1 point. Then we'll go to a final round, and both of you will be able to gain points in that round. So those are the rules. There's no point doublers. There's no fire tokens. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
And I guess I'll go ahead and read the categories. Okay. We have.
Hold on. What? That, Jess, have you played the quiz before?
Yeah, I've played the quiz before.
Okay. All right.
I'm really extremely terrible at the quiz. Like, for someone who's good at trivia, I am surprisingly awful at Twitch.
Jess, I had seen that there is going to be a special Survivor category on Jeopardy coming up this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I'm surprised that anything that happened on Survivor rises to the level of Jeopardy, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll see. We'll be on the lookout for that. Okay. All right. Jordan, what are the categories?
Okay. We have hashtag FB5000, undrafted free agent, future souvenir, and Twitch doesn't snub Tina.
Okay.
Okay.
Just as the guest, you get to choose first.
It's my turn. Okay. I think I know where this is going. So give me hashtag FB5000.
Okay. When there were six players. Okay. So we're going to Australian Outback. The episode is The Killing Fields from February 15th, 2001. And this is now 19 years ago Saturday. When there were six players left on the Ogacore tribe, a 3-3 tied vote and subsequent 2-2 tied revote sent Mitchell Olsen home due to the previous votes against tiebreaker rule. Who was the other player who received votes narrowly avoiding the boot?
I'm going to say it was Keith.
Keith is correct. And you start with a 2-pointer here. We were tied 2-2. Keith did not have any previous votes and Mitchell did. So he was the one who went home. And for any of you who are friends with Mitchell Olsen on Facebook, you know what hashtag Facebook5000 is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe that's the first time that being friends with Mitchell Olsen on Facebook has really paid off in my life. So thanks, Mitchell.
Okay.
All right. Rob, you get to choose the next category.
Could I hear one more time?
Sure. We have undrafted free agent, future souvenir, and Twitch doesn't snub Tina.
Let's go with Twitch doesn't snub Tina.
Okay, so we're going to Survivor All-Stars. The episode is Shark Attack from February 12th, 2004, 16 years ago Wednesday. Besides Tina, who was voted out, who was the only other Saboga tribe member to vote for Jenna Lewis at the first tribal council?
I would guess that it was Ethan.
Ethan, who is on the cast of Winners at War, is correct. If you have a member of your tribe who's going after all the people who've won the game before, it's a pretty good clue that if you were a winner, you would want to get her voted out. So, yes, it was Ethan. And Rob, you start with a 2-pointer as well. Strong start for both of you.
Jess, is that fair that Jordan is asking Survivor All-Stars questions, or I'm barely on it? So it's fine.
It's not your tribe.
He might have forgotten you were on it.
Did you forget I was on it?
I thought Boston Rob was on that. I thought it was Boston Rob and Rob
Zabaknik. We're both on it.
Now, look, I know you're on the season. You're on the Chapera tribe. This is the Saboga tribe. You weren't there. You weren't on the beach at this tribal council when this happened. So I think it's fine.
Okay.
I've done Amazon questions before. You're in basically the whole thing.
Okay. All right.
So we have Jess, undrafted free agent and future souvenir.
Let's go with undrafted free agent.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Panama. The episode is Breakdown from February 9th, 2006, 14 years ago Sunday. The Panama tribe swap occurred with an odd number of players left in the game, meaning that one player was not drafted and subsequently sent to Exile Island. After the Kasaya tribe voted off Melinda Hyder, who was this Exile player who took her place?
Oh, boy. I think I know who it was, but I want you to give me the multiple choice anyway.
Okay, so this is going to be for 1 point, and Rob cannot steal. Yep. Was it A, Courtney, B, Bruce, C, Suri, D, Danielle?
I'm pretty sure it was Bruce.
It was Bruce, and you get a point for that. Good job. Bruce replaced Melinda on that tribe. Not a lot of Melinda references on this week in Survivor history, but we got one there. So, Jess, you have a 3-2 lead. And, Rob, you get the last question. Future souvenir, we're going to Survivor One World, two tribes, one camp, no rules, from February 15th, 2012, 8 years ago, Saturday. Which member of Solani found the Monono idol and chose to give it to Colton Cumby?
I believe it was Sabrina.
Sabrina Thompson is correct. Rob, you have a perfect score going into the final round.
That's better times for Kim Spradlin.
Yes, much better time for Kim Spradlin. Better season for Kim Spradlin. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen after this. She could rally. She's a great Survivor player.
Jess, you think Kim's going to be okay?
I've never seen Kim as shook as she was this week.
I mean, there was the time she lost to RC in Miss Survivor.
I'm very worried about Kim.
Yeah, me too. I want her to do well. I'm excited to see her back, but boy, she got kind of a rotten draw on that first round.
Yeah. I mean, even like talking about the poker game, she called it the biggest mistake of her life on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, it really feels like that's so overblown. Like they played one game together. It's like the one fan event that Kim Spradlin has ever attended. And it's like, this is why winners don't go to poker events. Yeah. This is why they don't go to any fan events.
But in fairness, that it seemed like that, you know, they really bonded. But you know where else Kim went where she ended up like having like a really good bond with the people there?
Miss Survivor?
Yeah, every single place Kim Spradlin has ever went, that's what she does.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
it's just the case of people knowing how good of a player she is. I mean, I think the Poker Alliance is it's maybe a factor. It was obviously brought up at Tribal Council and talked about a lot during the episode. But like everyone knows that Kim Spradlin probably played the best single Survivor game of all time. I mean, no one's going to forget that. So the fact that she's on the outs, I'm surprised by it because of how, you know, of how friendly she is with everybody. And her personality is like, it's sort of, even though it's, she played such a dominant game, she seems very laid back and she'd be able to get along with everyone. But again, like you're looking for someone to vote out and, you know, voting out this person who played, you know, who made everybody else on her season look like chumps. Maybe it's not that bad of a strategy, even though I would hate to see it. I hope she's able to survive the next vote.
Jess, could this be like galaxy brain thinking? But for Kim, if then she's known as the person who is part of the Poker Alliance, is that better for her than being known as the person who completely dominated her season and maybe the best one-time Survivor player who ever played?
I think you're getting a little galaxy brain on that, Rob, but I think maybe it paints her as a little bit more of a meat shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Yule seems like he wants to bring her in. It's almost like, okay, well, we've sort of like neutralized the poker threat to some degree. Now it's safe to bring Kim into the fold.
Well, it looked like
that wasn't
was
a poker pun.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a different kind of fold.
Yeah.
It looked like in that novel that Yule posted to Twitter, I think that was something that he called out specifically as something he was doing.
Yeah. So hopefully there's hope for Kim. One of the things from social media, the tweets I didn't get to read, friend of the show, Kevin Martin, tweeted to Kim, "Hey, Kim, is it safe to say you're never going to play in a card game for the rest of your life?" And Kim said, "Not even go fish."
Well, speaking of gambling, I bought into a pretty high stakes Survivor pool, and I have both Yul and Kim on my team. So I hope they both do very well.
How does that work? Can I ask the details of a high stakes Survivor pool?
Everybody chipped in $20, and there's a lot of people that chipped in $20. So the winner gets several hundred dollars, and you pick five people. Everybody can pick whichever five people they want, and nobody picked the same five people. So whoever gets, there's a point system. It's very complicated. And whoever has the most points at the end wins the whole pool.
Big stakes. But I like stakes.
I hope that Fabio's not in this because when he's in the pool, he usually pees in it.
Ayo. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't let him in, but there's a couple of former Survivors in on this. So I was very honored to have been asked.
Okay. And by the way, if it's not Kim, I would not be shocked. Like I could see like the people who are not Tyson and Kim potentially splitting the votes on the two of them. I hope that's not where this goes. I could just see that happening, and I love both of them. So I hate to throw that out there, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
You just put that in the universe, Jordan. You just manifested
it. Take
it
back.
I take it back, but it's already filmed, so what are you going to do?
Yeah. He also said you could take the fire tokens out of the idol, so doesn't mean that necessarily everything he says is true.
Most things I say are true.
Okay. All right.
So, Rob, you have a 4-3 lead in the Twitch game. We usually don't do like episode talk in the middle of the Twitch game, but I kind of like it. It fits for this season. We're going to go to the deathmatch. And what I decided this season is I'm going to play with the This Week in Survivor format a little bit for winners at war. It's a special occasion. So
get ready to get dragged.
No, it's fine. This is a season of all winners. So I decided, especially for the first week, that this deathmatch is going to be all about Natalie and Amber. Natalie played on a season that is not a spring season, but who cares? We're going with it anyway. So for this deathmatch, I am going to read a statement.
Jess, are you okay with this? That we're just completely just throwing out the rule book here?
Yeah. Why did I even bother studying for this?
Look, it's Survivor history. It's this week in Survivor history, Natalie and Amber were voted out, and this happens to be things that happened to Natalie and Amber when they were on Survivor. So the way it's going to work, I'm going to read a statement. You're going to have to tell me if this statement just applies to Natalie, just applies to Amber, applies to both Natalie and Amber, or applies to neither Natalie and Amber. So there's four options.
I'm fine with it. This is, how many times can we say, which person got 8 votes at Tribal
exactly.
Council?
Yeah. I mean, we've done this a lot, and I wouldn't say I'm starting to run out of questions because there is so much,
you had run out of questions.
Well, that was a mistake where I duplicated a question from a couple years earlier. And unfortunately, Will from America was the guest on both of those shows, but okay. That happened once in a couple years. So that's fine.
What are the chances?
Yeah. So, okay, so Jessica, first of all, you have to guess, not guess, you have to pick a number from 1 through 4, which is going to decide the order. And just to remind you of how this game works, if you get your first question wrong, you can't gain any more points on this game. And therefore, if you're wrong on the first one, Rob will win. So pick a number from 1 through 4.
Okay, 3.
3, okay. So the statement is, this person stayed on the same starting tribe for the entirety of their winning game until the merge. Just Natalie, just Amber, both or neither. And I could repeat that for you if you want.
No, I think I got it. It's not true of Amber. And I honestly, I can't remember if... Or was it true of Amber? Now you're up in my head. This has been a very fun game. The reason that I have fun playing these games is because I come in here and I really don't actually care how well I do as long as I don't get shut out. And I didn't get shut out. So I'm okay with it. I just remember that scene in All Stars where Amber gets switched over to the other tribe. But I think it was that everybody else got switched over to her tribe now that I'm thinking about it. And therefore, I'm going to say it's true of both of them.
Okay, so your gut told you that it was not true for Amber. You did not go with your gut. You changed your answer. And it is good that you changed your answer. Yes, they both stayed on the same tribe for the entirety of their winning game until the merge. Amber was on the Chapera tribe the whole time, and Natalie was on the Hunapu tribe the whole time until the merge. So you get a point where
everybody else switched, 4. But she stayed the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, yes. Technically, she stayed on the same tribe. So, Rob, you get the next one. Their starting tribe went into the merge with a numerical advantage on the first season in which they played. So not in which they won, in which they played. Their starting tribe went into the merge with a numerical advantage on the first season in which they played. Just Natalie, just Amber, both or neither?
Boy. I got to count how many Hunapu and how many Koyopa there were. This is I know that Amber went into the merge in Survivor Australia. It was 5-5. So I know it was definitely not Amber. But now I got to try to figure out how many people were gone at the merge. So it was how many Hunapu people got Drew Christie. Kelly Wentworth and Dale was from the other tribe. Nadia was from the other tribe. Then Val was from the other tribe. And who else am I missing? It was, I'll say that, it was true of just Natalie.
True of just Natalie for the reasons that you just reasoned out is correct. So you get a point there. You are up 5-4, and which means, Jessica, you need to again get this one right in order to win the game. If you're right and then Rob gets the next one wrong, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So We're going to this one. This person cast a vote for the person who got voted out at the first tribal council they attended of the season they won. Just Natalie, just Amber, both or neither. It's wordy, I know. Cast a vote for the person who got voted out at the first tribal council they attended of the season they won.
Well, I know who Amber voted out at that first tribal council. Except we forgot he was on. Never mind. And I know that was successful. But I'm not entirely sure about Natalie. I'm going to go ahead and say, because I can't remember anything that happened in that pre-merge, got to be honest, except I remember Natalie yelling at John Rocker. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess it was both.
Both is correct. Yes, you, as you were saying before, Amber in the first tribal council, which she went to in All-Stars, how dare she vote for Rob's sister Nina, but she did. Natalie voted for Drew, who went home in a very strange 5-2 to 1-1 vote, but she was one of the votes for Drew. So Jessica, you get a point here. You have 5 points, which means that Rob, if you get this wrong, we go to a tiebreaker. If you're correct, you win the quiz. So competed in a reward challenge in the premiere episode of the season that they won. Competed in a reward challenge in the premiere episode of the season that they won. Just Natalie, just Amber, both or neither.
Competed in a reward challenge in the premiere episode of the season that they won. I think it would be neither.
So, in Survivor All-Stars, you were there for this. No reward challenge in the first episode of that season. And there was a reward challenge in San Juan del Sur, but the key word here was competed, because it was just Jeremy and Val who competed in that first reward challenge. So the answer is neither. You are correct. You get the point, and you win the quiz 6-5.
Okay, well, a long way to go to get there, but we're here.
Hey, I'm not like mad two at
battering
this
rams, like two battering rams. Yes. You sparred this whole time.
This
is the best I've ever done at Twitch, so I'm not mad at this.
Okay, well struck, Jess. Good job. Just a drink before war to get us started.
Yes, listen. I think we should have a toast at the beginning of each of these podcasts and do like a weird British accent.
Well, sure. I think it is worth telling this story. So, Jordan and I were in the same bar watching the premiere on Wednesday, and I had a couple of drinks, and we were hanging out. We hung out, watched the episode together, and I said, as I was getting up and getting ready to leave, "Hey, you know, if you need anybody for Twitch this season, you can give me a call." And Jordan's like, "Well, actually, we do need someone right out of the gate." And then I get this very sheepish Facebook message from him the next morning. "Hey, were you serious about coming on Twitch?" And I think he thought I might have been too drunk to consent to coming on Twitch.
No, that's not what I thought at all. That is not at all what I thought. I just wanted to make sure like you were still free.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely... I got nothing going on.
Kudos
here all
to
season.
Jordan for making sure in the light of day you still had not come to your senses.
Yep. I was still as out of my mind that morning as I was the night before, which is to say,
yes. How cool was that though? Like, I mean, obviously there was the big RHAP LA party, which looked amazing, sounds amazing. But to have, we had over 100 Survivor fans in that bar in New York to watch the premiere episode, and it's so cool, just like, you know, to be part of this community where I used to like not, I except for my mom, I didn't know anyone who watched Survivor, and now we have like over 100 people in a bar all watching the same show. They gave us the whole place, that every single TV in the bar was on Survivor. People were walking by looking at us like we were crazy, but it was an amazing night.
Yeah. Are you going to keep going, or is it just for the premiere?
Well, we've gone to this place for a lot of episodes. I mean, the big parties are usually the premiere and the finale. So, we will do them on other weeks.
Okay. People are going to hit you up. Sure. People are going to hit you up for, they're going to want to come.
Yeah. TBD on this week. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to start hitting you up for Twitch now that they know that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you're already in the Rolodex. You've been on Twitch before. So when you asked, it was like, "Oh, you know, I already have your information. I have all your stuff on file. I know who the first survivor you followed on Twitter was." By the way, Jessica, who was the first, and we're going to do this game a little bit differently this season. Oh. Who's the first survivor winner you followed on Twitter?
First survivor winner I followed on Twitter. That's a really good question. I gotta think about this for a second.
And I will say this person is on the Winners at War cast.
Oh, I was going to guess Chris Underwood.
Rob, I've been on Twitter almost as long as you have. I'm going to guess that the first one I followed on Twitter is somebody like pretty old school. And I'm going to guess that it might have been Yule.
It was not Yule. It's actually Tyson. Yeah. Tyson the Pasta.
Oh. Well,
so
okay.
I'm assuming you probably followed this person before he was a Survivor.
Tyson was prolific on Twitter at the time that, you know, like right around his season ended in Heroes versus Villains, that he was like, that's like, I think one of the things he was known for, like around that time of that he was just like on Twitter nonstop.
It would have been Chris Underwood, but Jessica followed Chris Underwood, then unfollowed him for a really long time and then started following him again.
There you go.
It's got an asterisk on it.
Yeah. All right.
I like the Houston Astros.
Jess, what do you have going on over on post-show recaps?
Well, Mike Bloom and I are covering Star Trek Picard, and we are having a lot of fun with that. And we actually had our very own Rob Cesternino as a guest last week to cover episode 3. We're up to episode 4, and it's starting to pick up speed, and we're really having a good time with it. And then it is impossible to believe, but The Walking Dead is almost upon us yet again. And Josh Wigler and I will be breaking down every episode of that. And then over on primetimer.com, I'm writing features on just about anything that they need people to write. This week I have something dropping about This Is Us. And I did a 3-part breakdown of the Survivor Winners at War cast with my managing editor, Joe Reed. And we talked about who we thought was too much of a threat, who we thought is not enough of a threat, and who we thought might actually win. So that's a fun read as well. You go over to primetimer.com, click on features, and you'll find that.
Yeah. Jess, I felt extra dumb today because I watched Star Trek Picard last night, the 4th episode, and I was like, I don't think this one is good. And then I was listening to you and Mike talk about it. And then you guys were talking about how it was good. And I just felt like I was an idiot.
Well, I complained about it for like 5 solid minutes at the top of the podcast.
I texted Mike Bloom. He said, no, this is the best episode. I was like, oh, man.
He was higher on it than I was, but I did enjoy it very much. I thought it was a solid hour of television.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just wanted to be in sync with you guys. And then I just felt like that. Okay, maybe I guess I'm a stupid idiot.
Rob, you don't have to like everything we like. I want to
have the correct takes.
The fan community is a rich tapestry of lived experiences.
Yes, like when Picard got stabbed in the heart.
Exactly. Yes. A rich tapestry. And you can even go back in time. Mm-hmm. You could go back in time and try to relive that, and it might not turn out as well for you, Rob. So just have the opinions you have and embrace them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Justice.
Picard's the bald one, right?
Yeah. Oh, Jordan's too cool to watch Star Trek.
I knew he was the bald one.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jess, I'm really happy you were here to kick off Twitch this season.
Yeah, I've had a great time, and I'm so glad that I was allowed to come on.
Yeah. Jordan, are you already through 2 weeks of Australian Survivor too?
I still have to see episode 6. I haven't seen 6 yet, but probably by the time you're listening to this, I will have seen it. So
yeah, I did it somehow this weekend.
I love it. I really love it. Like I think it's very.
We will not spoil anything. Yeah, it's very fun. Also,
no spoilers. I just think it's definitely worth watching. I mean, if you're listening to This Week in Survivor History, you're a big Survivor fan. You should be watching Australian Survivor, and you get to see two-time Twitch contestant Nick Adanza. And then you get to hear many-time Twitch contestant Shannon Gates talk about it. So it's great.
All right. So we've got The Wiggle Room coming up on Monday and much more as we head back towards our second week of coverage of Survivor Winners at War. We've got the Know-It-Alls back in the regular quiet studio with the trusty equipment. should be, everybody should be nice and happy for Wednesday night. And for the first time, I'm going to be having the Survivor pregame show, which is a patron-only show starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, where I'm going to take calls from people getting ready for episode 2 of Survivor.
It's not like when you take shots before the Survivor episode starts, right?
Jonathan, always a drink before war. So, all right, that's what's coming up. If you want to get in on that and everything else we have going on in our patron community, head on over to robinsonwebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.